This episode is sponsored by Tin Can Timepieces. Looking for a watch that's built for anything life throws at you? Let me introduce you to Tin Can Timepieces. This is more than just a watch. It's a commitment to quality and purpose. Tin Can Timepieces is proudly based out of Georgia and is owned and operated by an active-duty U.S. Navy submariner. That's right, a company built on discipline and precision. Every watch they create is handcrafted and features reliable automatic movements, ensuring you get a premium quality feel with every tick. Whether you need a rugged diver or a classic dress watch, Tin Can offers an assortment of styles for every mission. Tin Can Timepieces. Hand-built for purpose, built for the depths. Dive deeper and check out their collection today at tincantime.com. All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the pod staff. With me today, I have Mr. Brian Biro. So Brian is actually America's number one breakthrough speaker and a leading authority on leadership and personal development. He's a best-selling author and an elite coach, and he spent most of his career making a profound impact by helping people and organizations unlock their true potential. And as famously quoted and introduced, he has the energy of a 10-year-old, the enthusiasm of a 20-year-old, and the wisdom of a 75-year-old. So, Brian, thank you for being on. I'll let you share a little bit about yourself.
Well, thanks, Michael. I laughed at that. That was that quote about the energy of a 10-year-old, enthusiasm of a 20-year-old came from the president of the Jacksonville, Florida Electric Authority. But it was when I was like 40. And now it's, you know, the wisdom of a 75-year-old. Well, I'm almost 75. So, you know, I can change that one now. So yeah. It's an honor to be with you. I love what I do. I love it because it's what I was put on earth to do. I've had three really wonderful careers. My first career, I was a U.S. swimming coach. So I was working with young athletes to rise to the potential in their sport, but really in life. Because no matter what you coach, you actually coach people. That's what you really coach. Had a great run as a U.S. swimming coach. My team became the largest team in America at the time, but I had no life. So I'm probably the only guy you've ever met, Michael, who decided to go to graduate school to get a life instead of a job. Right. And I actually did. That's when I met my wife. I've gotten good, really, really good physical shape. Ended up going to my corporate career, which is my second career. Became a vice president fairly quickly in a pretty large organization. And what was interesting was it was a transportation company. I didn't care about transportation. All right. I just love people. And so that's where my focus was. And it was very much like having been a coach. And we had a massive turnaround in that company. But at the peak of it, I said to my wife, honey, we're doing great. Let's quit. I got to go do this. Because what I had done was starting doing team building programs in my own company because we were really siloed. You know, operations hated sales, sales hated operations. They both hated the home office just a little bit more. And that made no sense to me because operations people like to do operations. Sales people like to sell. And administrative people don't want to do either one. They want to do their stuff. So what really changed our organization wasn't on the outside, wasn't the economy, wasn't the markets. It was us on the inside and how we broke through those silos, kind of moved from silos to synergy. So at the peak of that, sure enough, I quit and I started doing my professional speaking, and that's been my passion for 36 years. I can't wait to do it. And what's fascinating to me is this is my 37th year, and it's my busiest year ever, which tells me that right now people are hungry to break through because I love that I'm called America's Breakthrough Speaker because that's what every event is about, is to create a breakthrough and get your team to be more of a team, get people to take more ownership, personal responsibility. And I just love, it's been my passion for all three careers. How do you break through? What are the secrets to breaking through? Whether it's in your family and your relationships, whether it's in your health, whether it's in your career, whether it's in your team. So after all those 50 years, I've really come to clarity about how breakthroughs happen.
Yeah, no, that's great. And that was one of the things I wanted to ask you about is on the breakthroughs, you do an exercise, I guess, I don't know if it's at all of your events, but at least at most of them, where you have people chop a piece of wood prior to you speaking. Is that correct?
Yeah, they chop it with their hand. It's called the breakthrough experience, and it's board breaking. And to me, Michael, it is the greatest combination individual team experience you'll ever have in an event. I've had more than 1 million people do this around the world, over 2,000 events. I'm doing a couple next week with a couple thousand people breaking boards. And That individual part is the metaphor. So I guide everyone to write on the board and get clear about something they're ready to break through in their life. It could be something in their health. It could be something in a habit that they really want to shake that's not supporting them. It could be in a relationship. It could be fear of failure. It could be fear of rejection. It could be procrastination. So the first part of the individual impact is about the meaning. And I've had people, Michael, send me stuff 25 years after they broke their boards that just brings me almost to tears. People who have beat cancer because of what they wrote on the board, who brought their families back together when they thought it wasn't even healable. People who have lost over 100 pounds. So the first part of the individual impact is that meaning. On the front of the board, the person I guide them to write, what's that obstacle? On the back of the board, to envision and write down something awesome. What's waiting for you when you have broken through? What are you going to do, be, feel, create, have in your life? And, you know, for example, the first board I ever broke, I don't break boards anymore. I just hold them. It's so much fun to hold them. But when I broke a board 37 years ago, on the front of a board, I wrote procrastination. That was my obstacle. It was procrastination about writing books. I always wanted to write books, and I always found a way to put it off. Yeah, when the kids get older, when I've saved up some money, when I've got some time. It was all really only about fear. But on the back of my board, I wrote freedom, abundance, and truth to my word. That when I overcame the fear that was paralyzing me into procrastination and I wrote a book, I'd bring my family new abundance. We'd have freedoms we didn't know we had, and I'd be living my word to myself every day. So the individual part of the breakthrough is that meaning. But there's more. So when I have, say, 1,000 people in an event breaking boards, we would start off with about 100 circles of 10 people each. Music is pounding. I use Danger Zone from Top Gun. People are clapping nice. Their hands, right? So if you were in, so these circles of 10 people each, all right? So if you were in one of those circles and you said, it's my time, I'm breaking the board, you'd step forward and the other 9 people are going, Michael, Michael, Michael. There's 99 others going on at the same time. Some people have never been cheered for like that in their lives. And for them, that's the personal breakthrough. The team part, equally powerful. You just will never see or hear people cheer like they cheer in board breaking. It's just, it's almost like tribal. I guess it's because we're all in it together. Even introspective, quiet, you know, shy people, that just goes away during board break. They're clapping and cheering, tears in their eyes, faces illuminated. But the best part of the team experience, I could only explain by the best day of my life. And it was my daughter's wedding day. And it was for something, and incidentally, maybe we'll make a comment about wedding days coming up. Anyway, it was the best day of my life. And for a reason I never could have expected or understood until I experienced it. And that was for probably 6 hours on her wedding day. I didn't think of myself once. All I could do was think of her. They tell me that I was laughing and crying at the same time. I don't remember. I just remember her. And when those 9 other people are around you, Michael, going, Michael, 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 they get to feel about you the way I felt about my daughter. They've moved from ego to wego. Their focus is 100% on unconditional support for other human beings. And that brings out the best thing about being human is that we'll do more for others than we'll ever do for ourselves. So that's what it's about. And the other cool thing about the breakthrough experience is I don't just do it for just the fun of it. It's actually causing people to apply the formula for breakthrough leadership that I've taught them up to that point. So instead of just hearing about it and just the speaker just talks about something, they actually got to apply everything they've learned to break the board. And then they take it home with them. And I don't care who you are. You don't know you can do this until you do it. And that's like life. You don't know you can do a podcast until you step up and go for it. You don't know you can ask somebody to be your wife until you step forward and do it. And so it's very real and tangible. As I say, I've had people write to me 25, 30 years after they broke their board, and they still have their board. They put it on their wall. They put it on a bookshelf. And every time they see it, it kind of jolts their heart a little bit to say, man, I did that. I didn't know I could do it when I went in that room. What else could I do that I didn't know I could do? And that to me is the greatest outcome of every breakthrough event.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. And I feel like what came to mind for me is just speaking things into existence. And I'm a huge, you know, some people think, well, what's going to happen is going to happen. I don't. I think that the philosophy should be if you speak it into existence and you can envision it in your head. I think Conor McGregor says that like verbatim, and it's so true because there's so many times. You mentioned the podcast too. Like it was something that I wanted to do for a while, and then it took meeting Joel Zeff in Nashville over something not podcast related for me to be like, oh, I need to do this. Like, and it all it took was a little nugget of advice or experience or whatever to finally have that breakthrough experience to be like, oh, I can do this. I want to do this, and now I'm not putting it off any longer.
See, that's beautiful. That and one of the foundational, the first, all breakthroughs start the same way. They start with vision. All right. And the key vision principle is what you focus on is what you create. So when you focus on the fear, you create fear. When you focus on the possibility, you amplify possibility. So a really huge question to ask yourself, every person watching this podcast, ask yourself, what are you focusing on? How many of us focus more often on worrying about what will go wrong than creating what we want to go right? You know, how many of us focus more on the things and the people and the situations that upset us or disappoint us as opposed to the things that bring us joy? In other words, how many are living our lives focusing on the bored instead of the breakthrough? And the fascinating thing is 95% of breaking bored has nothing to do with strength or coordination, has only to do with focus. If you focus on the board, you're going to get the board. If you focus on the breakthrough, looking beyond the board into your board holder's eyes, you'll astonish yourself and you'll know that what you focus on is what you create. So here's a great way to talk things into reality that you just mentioned. If you pay attention to a lot of people, how often they say the words, I have to. I have to go to work today. I have to do this. I have to pick up the kids. We learned the words I have to when we were little kids, when we were under 5 years old. You have to do this or something bad will happen. The two words that were attached to have to when we were little were or else something bad will happen. Well, as through time, the or else kind of becomes subconscious, but it's still there. So when you think about it, what do you have to do in this life? And when you really get down to it, I know it sounds very base, you have to die. Everything else is a matter of choice. So when you live your life, instead of saying, I have to do this, say, I want to do this. I choose to do this. I like to do this. I love to do this. I can't wait to do this. What happens is, have to is about fear. Want to, choose to, like to, love to is about progress, about folk, about direction, about joy. So one really fun thing for people to do is just catch yourself. How many times do you say, I have to, and switch it? You know, when you talk yourself into existence, there's not a day that goes by, Michael, that I don't say at least five times. I already said it to you once. I love what I do. And no matter what, I've talked myself into loving what I do. So I love that your perspective is about that focus because it's a choice. All breakthroughs are a matter of choice. So why not choose to focus on what you want to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And that brings up a point someone told me recently, as a reminder that fear is extremely close to the emotion of excitement. So almost like transferring that fear, or if you're focused on fear, like what are your thoughts on maybe someone who's very fearful and focused on that fear, whether it's a life event, whether it's just a chronic thing that they deal with, what's your advice on transferring that into an excited point of view or something that instead of being fearful, we're saying we get to do this, we're excited to do this. I don't have to do this, but I'm excited to go pick up the kids. I'm excited to do simple things. And as a speaker, I just feel like that's probably something that at times you have to do or had to do in the past when you were starting out as well, when you get on stage.
Yeah, that's a great question. And it comes down to the heart of my whole breakthrough leadership principle. And the way you shift from debilitating fear to the kind of fear that, you know, any athlete, you know, I coached great athletes. I was an athlete. you got to feel a tingle. You got to feel excitement. You got to feel something. You got to feel passion if you're going to rise to your true potential. But it's got to be positive excitement, not fearful excitement. And the key comes down to controlling your controllables. The fear that debilitates is always about the fear of somebody else. If you're afraid of public speaking, what are you really afraid of? You're not afraid of not knowing what to say. You're afraid of looking bad. You're afraid of being embarrassed. You're afraid of what people think. That's out of your control. And so that's the whole essence of breakthrough leadership is about that transformation from fear to freedom, from failure to faith, from ego to ego, from good to great. And it comes by controlling three controllables. The first we already talked about is vision. We have a choice about our vision. Are we going to look at the board or the breakthrough? All right. And also about not using your memory all the time to see. I've asked Michael thousands of audiences the same question. I ask them as a vision question, what color is a yield sign? And every audience says yellow. Yield signs are red and white. They're upside down triangles with red lights.
You're right.
Every audience says yellow. Maybe a few people say red, but 95 to 99% of the people say yellow. Why? Because we don't use our vision to see. We use our memory and our conditioning. Where does that matter the most? With people. Change the way you look at people, the people you look at change. Change the way you see yourself, the self you see will change. So the first controllable is about vision, to shift your mindset to when you're focused on what you don't want, ask yourself, what do I want? And focus more on that. All right. And secondly, not to always use your memory to see. The second controllable is energy. To energize and engage your team. But before you can energize anybody else, you got to energize and engage who? Yourself.
Yourself.
It starts from the inside. And most people think of their energy as something outside of themselves. They think of it like the weather. It's like, gee, I hope the weather's good in Hilton Head for the big day. All right. But your energy is not like the weather. Your energy is truthfully, absolutely, positively, magnificently a matter of your choice. All right. And when you understand it's a choice and then how to cultivate a better choice, watch out. Because to everyone we touch, our energy is our example. You know, people won't remember that much of what we say, no matter how well we say it, but they'll never forget our energy. They get your energy before you open your mouth, before you've closed your mouth. They get your energy over the phone. They haven't seen your face. They get your energy when they send emails. I don't call email energy, electronic mail. I call it energy mail. So everyone will catch our energy as an example. So how do you control the controllable called your energy? Three simple ways. One, your energy is created by the way that you move. All right. Anytime you've been at your best, you've given your best presentation, you've been your most alert, you've been your most creative, you've moved your body differently than when you've not been your best. I love this because I'm 71 years old, but when I'm on stage, I'm 25 years old because I'm moving. All right. I get off stage, I could be 71 again, but on stage, I'm 25 because if you want to win the race called life, you've got to change your pace. So you want to win the race, change your pace. So the first key to energy is to change the way you move. I've said this to some people, they go before and they say, well, Brian, if I had more energy, I'd move more. Move more and you'll have more energy. That's the choice. Second, and even more powerful than your movement. In fact, when you master the second key to energy, you will have the first. Movement comes with it. Focus on purpose. Whenever you're full of purpose, you're full of energy. When you get to do what you love to do, it doesn't matter how much sleep you had. It doesn't matter what's been on your mind. It doesn't matter. If you get to do what you love to do, you're like my grandchildren. It's like, get out of my way. I can't wait. But you ever notice what happens to your energy when you lose sight of your purpose? It's like somebody puts a pin in that balloon. So a great simple way to take charge, control the controllable called purpose, is start every morning with gratitude. Ask yourself, what am I truly grateful about today? And it'll immediately focus in your priorities, which will lead to purpose. One of the greatest books ever written was called Man's Search for Meaning. And it was written by
Viktor Frankl.
And one of the most powerful, he's a man who endured and made it through Auschwitz, perhaps the worst concentration camp. And he said that the people who made it through were the people who had a purpose left undone. It wasn't the strongest. It wasn't the healthiest. It was those that had something, the purpose that was so strong that they had to make it through. So the second key to energy is purpose. The third is release your energy vampires. You know, from I've been speaking about energy for 36 years in my events, and every so often somebody will come up to me at the end of an event and say, Brian, I have a lot of energy, except when I get around him. I have this one person in my life who just sucks the energy right out of me. And I always say the same thing to these folks. I never say it to be harsh or cruel. I say it to set them free. If you have somebody in your life who kind of fits the description of an energy vampire, somebody when you feel like I'm ready to go and they tell you all the reasons you're not, all right? If you have somebody like that in your life, and it's usually somebody important in your life, two words, stop it. It's not their energy. It's not their power. And I learned this the hard way, so I hope people learn it from me the easy way, because the man I was certain was my energy vampire for a big part of my life was my hero growing up. It was my dad. My dad was a man who could never say, I love you or I'm proud of you. And for a while, that was what I wanted more than anything in this world. For many, many years, though, after I grew up, I started to say, to heck with him. I don't care. I don't need him. I've got a good life. But it was a lie. He was still my hero. Finally, after 14 years of basically having zero relationship with my father from the time I started at Stanford University as a college freshman for 14 years. I had no cards, no letters, no visits, no nothing. If I called home to talk to my mother, my dad answered the phone. We had the same conversation. I'll get your mother. 14 years. But wow. Finally, my wife and I met each other, fell in love. We had our first child a year later. And I finally woke up to the most powerful breakthrough choice of all. And that is, if things are to change, I must change. We always want to change that other person. We went and visited my dad. And for the first time, I released my energy vampire. I was myself. I brought my own authentic energy. And in one day, my life completely transformed. I realized, number one, how much I love my dad, how much he gave me. He taught me about work ethic. He taught me about energy. He taught me to do the right thing, especially when nobody's around. But I couldn't see those gifts because I was too busy being bitter to get better. I realized that how much he meant to me, I had an even bigger epiphany. I realized he had always told me he loved me. He'd always told me he was proud of me. He just couldn't say it. But he worked two jobs for 18 years so he'd have enough. He worked as a policeman all night and he worked construction all day so he'd have enough. He couldn't say, I'm proud of you, son, but he'd get this old bike. And for 6 months, in the tiny amount of time when he wasn't working or sleeping, he'd go off to the garage and work on that bike. So on Christmas morning, there was my Red Racer bike. We actually talked for the first time on that trip, really talked. And I found out all the years I didn't think he even knew, much less cared, what I'd been doing in school and sports. He'd been telling all the other cops. He just didn't want me to have a fat head. My 94-year-old daddy passed away a year ago. In the last 15 years of his life, I was his sole caregiver, along with my mother, though I live in Virginia and they live in Lake Tahoe, California. In the 15 months after my mother passed away, before my dad passed, I spent more than 200 days out there with him as his maid, as his cook, as his wheels, as eventually as his arms and his legs. And any day I wasn't with him, we talked on the phone, and every conversation on the phone and every one of those live times we were together, including the last day when I held his hand and he took his last breath, ended with the words, I love you, son. I would not have thought that was possible for most of my life. But now I know that that energy vampire was my creation. So how do you elevate energy? Number one, change the way you move. Number two, focus every day on purpose by starting with gratitude. And number three, release your energy vampires. You can't do it out of anger because it won't release them, but out of the joy in your life. And you will find that you have this incredible elevation in energy. On a 10-point scale, you'll be up there above 9.0, be easy to impress and hard to offend. So that's the second controllable, to shift from the fear to the breakthrough. The third is to build people, build teams, and build relationships. Every single person that's watching your podcast is in the people business. All right. Fundamentally, it's how you grow and help others grow to determine how far you can go. And building people, teams, and relationships is, again, a controllable. It's a choice. It comes from, most of all, being fully present. When you're fully present with people, as you are, that's why you're doing great on this podcast. I mean, you're really listening. You're really taking it in. You're really thinking about where does this apply in my life? Being fully present says to the people, you are important. You matter and you count. And whenever you're not present, 100, it speaks louder. People feel like, I guess I'm not that important because they're thinking about their cell phone instead of me. So it is the ultimate gift. And the only way we can truly build trust with people is to be fully present.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, this podcast too, with being like, I struggle with being present, to be honest. Like, I struggle a lot with being present. But this is one of the only times when I get to do these shows with really cool people and people who have a lot to share. I am fully present and I don't have a lot of windows that require that in my life. And that's why it's kind of just a blessing to be able to listen to you and listen to other people I talk to and hear a story like you just told me about your dad. And one of the things that came up for me is, you know, how much of your choice created a whole new breakthrough opportunity for him too? Because maybe he didn't know, it sounds like he didn't know how to, to tell you. And your choice allowed him to say, you know what, my son gave me a second chance to get this thing right.
That's a brilliant insight. You know, my dad's mother died when he was 7 years old, and she was the loving one in his life. When she died, it was as if he died. His dad was just like him. Couldn't say it. So that's a brilliant insight, Michael. Awesome. You know, on the being fully present, one last thing I want to say, I call it the gift, because the greatest gift I've ever received in my life that changed my life more than any other, I received from my two daughters, Kelsey and Jenna, when they were 8 and 3 years old. Now they're all very grown up by now. One night, so I was so caught up in my career, just like when you're young, you're focusing on life, you know, trying to get things done, trying to move ahead. When you get older and you have grandchildren, you go, that's going to be okay. What matters is getting on the floor with you right now and playing with you. But you don't know that when you're younger. And anyways, I was so caught up in my career, my speaking business had taken off, that I was constantly on the phone. And those days we didn't have cell phones, all right? So the only way you could do remote business as a professional speaker was talking on the phone. Well, one night my daughters came into my office, and this is making a little longer story shorter, but it'll get to the heart of it and why I call it the gift. They walked in my office before I could get to the phone. They looked at me and they asked me, Daddy, we just want to know, do you love your phone more than you love us? I felt the blade go in deep. Emerson said, what you do scream so loudly, I can't hear a word you're saying. And it woke me up to the truth that my phone would have been more important in the way I was living than my children, than my wife. Well, they showed me that there is no greater gift than being fully present, because the past is history, the future a mystery. The gift is now. That's why we call it the present.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a deep one. And I don't know anyone who doesn't struggle with that, but the people I know that are very good at it, or at least outwardly seem to be good at it, are the people who do the little things that you had mentioned. And I just want to note them for listeners too, is the gratitude list in the morning. I mean, any sort of mental health setting, recovery from addiction setting, self-help setting, or motivational setting, it's all the same concept. It's gratitude. And you had mentioned earlier being focused on other people. And, you know, you said the happiest day of your life was when you were focused fully on your daughter for 6 hours. And I can just I resonate with that so much, because the times that I have, luckily I have a really wonderful dad. He's, you know, taught me so many things. He's taught me empathy. He's taught me faith. You know, one time I was telling him, man, I cannot stop focusing on all this stuff that's going wrong. And he was like, well, I'm working Samaritan's Purse this weekend. You want to join? And I'm like, what, why is that your solution? And then I started doing it with him here and there. And I realized that, you know, when I got back from, like, you know, the Christmas packing or whatever it was with volunteering, it was such a wonderful feeling. I had a wonderful evening. I didn't feel the need to indulge in anything, to get my mind off of anything or anything like that. I truly just felt gratitude. And you saying that made a good point come up for me. It was really because I was doing the right thing and I was solely focused on helping other people for that window of time.
That's
And
right.
it even made my week better, not just my night. So.
Absolutely. The greatest thing about people is that we'll do more for others than we'll do for ourselves. That's when we're our best. And that's another reason why I love the board breaking experience, because I'll give you a really cool story. The biggest board breaking event I did was for 4,000 people. That's a lot of wood. All right. It was in Atlanta, Georgia. And the way I set it up is that, so that would mean there were 400 circles of 10 people each in this room. And I have my group up on this really high stage. I tell my board holders, I train these 400 board holders that if anybody doesn't break their board out there after three good tries, that I've asked that, ask your holder to ask you to take a break, to watch, to cheer, to support your circle. Then as each of those 400 circles finishes out there, they all move right up in front of the stage. So it's like a rock concert where the guy jumps out on, gets caught by it. So 4,000 people up on the stage. Well, at this huge event, the last person who had tried three times out in the crowd was a 95-year-old woman. She was 4'10", maybe. She had tried three times. Her granddaughter had to come up on the stage behind her to hold her by her waist so she wouldn't teeter too much. When she broke that board, which she did, the roar from that crowd, Michael, was so loud, I know I lost hearing. It was louder than NCAA Final Four final minutes. But here's the point, what you just spoke about. Every one of those 3,999 other people love their own breakthrough. They'll remember it. They'll treasure it. But every one of them, the best breakthrough of all was her. It was that woman who they didn't even know. And that brings out the best in us, which is we'll do more for others than we'll do for ourselves. They cheered louder. They met it. Their energy was completely there. When we get that, little differences don't matter. Differences are resources when we put them together. People say we're having differences, that's a bad thing. No, I don't want a team of people who are just like me. We're only going to see the little bit that I see. I need people who are good at stuff that I'm not good at. I need people around me who are passionate about the areas that need to get done that I'm not so passionate about. Because then, as long as we're moving towards a good end, that's when we become unstoppable. So, very cool.
No, I agree, and I definitely think that it's starting to make more sense to me about parenthood, because I think that concept ties in directly to where you hear most of the time, at least the people I've heard from, say, "Yeah, that habit. Yeah, I stopped the day my kid was born," or "Yeah, I it's no longer about me," and you just see like this glow on their face because seemingly life looks a lot more stressful. But also seemingly they look a lot more happy and they're glowing and they're tired and they're stressed, but it's for someone else, so it seems to make life have more meaning.
Absolutely. You're moving forward. You have a purpose. It's what we said. When you're purpose, you're full of energy and you're choosing to be different. And whenever you choose, whenever you, and fear is a choice too, focusing on the obstacle rather than the breakthrough. But when you make that choice, you decide, I'm going to be the victim. When you make your choice, I'm going to be a breakthrough leader, you focus on the fact that there's a leader inside of you. Everyone is a leader. I start every event the same way, saying, who in this room is a leader? And only people with a title raise their hand. I go, trick question. If you're breathing, raise your hand. Because what is leadership? Leadership is simply making decisions. Every decision you make is an act of personal leadership. How you show up every day, that's a big part of your leadership. How do you deal with adversity, with challenge, with change? That's leadership. Most of all, what kind of impact do you have on the people around you? Do you lift them up? You're already a leader. And that's the starting place, because as soon as you accept that you're a leader, you say, I am not a victim. I can control my controllables. I'm going to focus on the things I do control to create the results I want to create, hopefully. My back here on my wall is the greatest coach of all time. He was my friend, my mentor. He wrote the foreword to my first book. My most recent, my 16th book features him. His name was John Wooden. And John Wooden was the greatest men's college basketball coach of all time. Perspective, he won 10 national championships in college basketball, men's college basketball, NCAA, in the last 12 years that he coached. But talk about a humble man. He would have been the first to tell you he didn't win any national championships in the first 27 years that he was a coach. He used to say it's what you learn after you know everything that makes the difference. As great a coach as he was a better person. But Coach Wooden exemplified that breakthrough leadership because not once in 27 years did John Wooden ever say the words winning or losing to his players. Mm. He didn't say the words. Did he want to win? Oh, yeah. But what he wanted was for his team, his coaches, and himself to focus on what they did control, their effort, their energy, their attitude. He said, success is peace of mind and only comes from knowing you've given the best of what you're capable. So if you have to look at the scoreboard, you don't know because you don't control that. What you control is what you put in. And he'd wink at you and say, you do that enough, you're going to come out pretty good most of the time. That's really where success lies, is in focusing on the things we do control. Because notice whenever you're doing that, how optimistic you are, how you feel like you got momentum. You feel you're never in overwhelm, all right, when you're focusing on controlling your controllables, because you know I'm taking this next step. And the key to breakthrough and overwhelm is do one thing. And that'll lead you to the next, to the next, to the next.
Now, what would you say to people who have a tough time identifying what their controllables are? Because there's the serenity prayer for wisdom, discernment, to know the difference in what you can and can't control. And I think, just speaking personally, it makes a lot of sense for me to say, hey, I'm just going to control my controllables. But sometimes I'm good at it, and sometimes I think I can control more than I can. And that's when that excitement and passion turns to shaky fear. And I find myself towing that line a lot. And I've talked to a lot of people who feel the same way. And that discernment is what's tough.
Yeah. First of all, that's called being human. So yeah. leave perfection to God. Do the rest. You just do the best you can by being simply aware of the three controllables. There's just three. You're not going to be perfect, but you're going to keep moving forward. Number one, shape your future. So it's about vision. Number two, energize and engage your team, which means you must first energize and engage yourself. All right. To everyone we touch, our energy is an example. And three, build people, teams, and relationships. Those are the three foundational controllables. And the foundation of that is be fully present. Again, leave perfection to God, but do the best you can. And when you do those three, what happens is you become easy to impress, but hard to offend. Easy to impress means you just look for the best. You look for the best in the people around you. You look for, you look for what you really admire in people. All right? And you're impressed with it. You let them know that, hey, that's really great. I love that. When you're hard to offend, you stop taking everything personal. You move from ego to ego. Because 95% of the time, it is not personal. That person who cut you off in traffic has nothing to do with you. They don't even know you. They never will know you, but we take it personal. You are out to get me. All right. And if you become easy to impress and hard to offend, that is the ultimate outcome of controlling those three controllables. And again, that moves you from victim to active, go-getting, make it happen, being the person you want to be, being a breakthrough leader.
Yeah. Definitely. That actually reminds me of the book, The Four Agreements. I'm sure you've read that, where, it just talks about those very simple things and to not take anything personally, be impeccable with your word and, do your best.
That's it. We want to overcomplicate. I love the KISS principle. Keep it simple, superstar. All right.
I've never heard that.
Great, great breakthrough leaders understand the power of simplicity. One of the reasons why people move to fear is overwhelm. It's like, it's just too much. There's too much. In this crazy world we have right now with AI and with technology expanding to everything that's out there, it's easy to get caught up in complexity and complication, and it's too much. But when you simplify, and what happens when you do that? You get paralysis. You don't do anything. You're stuck. But when you focus in on those simple three controllables or those simple four agreements, which are very similar to my three controllables, you have momentum. You know what the next step to take. You know, because you're not thinking about 500 steps beyond you. You're taking that next step. And as soon as you take that next step, I like to think of it as like a stairway. You take that one step up, you got a new view. You couldn't see what you could see when you're one step below, but now you can see a little further. Next step, you can see a little further. And inch by inch, anything's a cinch. So, you know, like, for example, if you want to, if people want to do something from this podcast, it'll change your life. When you leave this podcast, pick out two people in your life. One at work, one at home, who for 30 days, you simply make the commitment to be more fully present. Now, that doesn't mean you even have to spend more time with them. You may not have more time. But when you're with them, put the cell phone away. All right, no more meals where you're 3 feet away with the people you love and only you're all looking at your cell phones. Here's the biggest one. Ask more than tell. And then do what we rarely actually do. Listen. Because most of the time when people are, even when they're asking us stuff, we're not listening. We're thinking about what we're going to say. But listen first. You'll know what to say. You know, really open your eyes to who they are now. And you watch. After a few days, they're going to look at you different. They're going to go, you've been working out? Doing something different in your hair? You're looking good.
You're glowing.
You'll build that habit and that muscle until it begins to become who you are habitually. And being present just means when you're with somebody, 100% of your mind, body, and spirit of with that person where they are now. So try that out. I mean, I'm so glad you brought up about kids, because truly the greatest gift you can ever give your children is to be more fully present than you were before, because that will tell them that they're important. My friend John Wooden, the greatest of them all, as great as he was in his record, he was even better at being fully present. When you were with John Wooden, the greatest of all time, he made you feel important because he was so interested in you and so present with you. And he really listened to you. It was amazing. You know, I remember the first time I ever met Coach, I walked out of the room feeling like a feeling I never had in my life. And I now realize it was because here this great man was actually interested in me. You know, and how did you do that? You can't fake being present. People know immediately when you're not fully present.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a really good mentor tell me one time, you know, you waste so much whenever you try to be interesting instead of interested. So why not be interested instead of interesting?
That is brilliant. I love that. I'm going to steal that one. Thank you, Michael. That's really cool.
It's a good one. Yeah.
That's a great one. Yeah. Great leaders today, more than ever, need to ask more than tell. When you ask people what they think, immediately they feel valued. They feel respected. They're interested in what I have to say. When you ask people important questions, it helps them think for themselves and grow, and it elevates their energy. So being a great leader, you better be a master asker.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. I wanted to ask you on all these concepts. You know, you're so well versed in what you do, and I know I've done so much research on you. I could just see just reviews everywhere of how you've helped everyone. But I want to know for you, like, how much has faith played a role in that? What does your faith kind of look like tying into what you do?
Everything starts with God. And so faith for me is the base of all. I don't bring specific religion into what I speak about. I do mention God. I always end with an Irish blessing, which is very special to our family. Because I guess the best way I can describe my faith, it's really similar in some ways to Mother Teresa's faith. Now, she was Catholic, but she said, all that really matters is love. And all that really matters is if you call God by a different name than I do, as long as you love God, I'm okay. And to me, that's really what matters, is to realize there's so much more than we can see as human beings. And mm-hmm. that God is within us, and it's everyone, even the people we're pretty sure God put on the planet to test us. All right. So, it's the foundation of all that I do, but I, as a professional speaker and speaking mainly in corporate arenas, I'm cautious about injecting too much of my own specific faith, but I'm not afraid to say that all starts and all ends with God.
Yeah, fair enough. So I want to talk next, as we're coming up on time, on your books. So I know you've written quite a few books. So I wanted to, I saw that Beyond Success seems to be your biggest success, which is kind of ironic. So talk to me about your books, where to get your books, and how listeners can start to listen to you or read about you and the principles that you preach.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, I've written 16 books. The first one was called Beyond Success, and that was I didn't know anything about writing books. I just wanted to write a book. I never even thought about what do you do with a book once it's written. That's the one that John Wooden wrote the foreword to. And it's kind of my foundation book. It really lays out the foundation of breakthrough leadership. My most recent book actually hit number one on Amazon for probably 3 whole minutes.
Hey, you hit it
Oh,
though.
all of my books I really kind of build upon these controllables that we talked about. So the easiest way to, what I love to do more than anything is be a professional speaker. I love getting up in front of rooms because my particular deal is by the end of my program, because people have broken through, they're the stars of that presentation, not me. All right. I don't even care if they remember my name. I care that they remember their name. I care that they remember that they did something they didn't know they could do. And open up to a possibility that I can do more than I thought, that I'm not an overachiever. That's another one of my books. There are no overachievers. So you get all my books via on my website, which is just my name, brianbyrow.com. Several of the books are available on Amazon or anywhere else you buy books. Some of the books I wrote and self-published, I've had every kind of publishing you have self-published just because I have. Yeah, I'm speaking all the time, and I can. It was economically smarter for me to do self-published and just have the book sell in my events. But the most recent one is called Lessons from the Legends, and my one before that was called The ROI of Kindness, which proves without question that kindness isn't only cool. Kindness works. It works in business as well as it works in our families and our lives, and that kindness is a choice. So I appreciate that. One fun little side. I turned 70 a year ago, and it took me 35 years to reach 1 million people in my events. So I had over 2,000 events. I finally crossed over 1 million people. I keep really good records of how many people in events. So when I turned 70, I made up my mind. I set a new vision. What you focus on is what you create, that I'm going to reach 1 million more before I get to 80. All right, and then we'll reassess after that. So if you want somebody to come and break through with your team, that's who I am, what I love, and it'll be an incredible experience.
Awesome. And do you only do like large corporate events, or do you do smaller company events as well?
I do whatever, whoever can afford me.
Yeah. Well, I will make sure that anyone who asks about it gets your contact info, and y'all can discuss the pricing of
I love it. I love
it.
it. Yeah, and I'm a little bit flexible about that. You can't, as a professional speaker, you kind of build your fees over time, and I've been doing it a very long time. But because I'm going for this million more people, I'm a little more flexible, especially if I have an event and I can tie another event to it. So.
Right. How long did it take at the beginning to like get to where you left that VP role after the research I did said that you quadrupled the revenue and then said, "Hey, I'm gonna do my own thing." How long did that take to be able to like supplement the kind of money that you were probably making before?
Well, I was really lucky because it happened right in the first year. And the reason was I had two clients that booked me, both of them booked me more than 60 times in the first 2 years that I spoke. One was RE/MAX, the giant real estate company, and the other was a direct sales, a network marketing company. So I was very lucky to have that. I didn't have to struggle in. The fun part was from those two foundational starts, my business has been word of mouth. And it created this kind of unique thing for me that, for example, I've done 103 events for Lockheed Martin. So when I impact some smaller portion of an organization, then it kind of spreads, which is really cool. So I'm not much of a self-promoter, and thank God I don't have to be.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really incredible. I usually you hear, oh man, the first 5 years were tough or something like that,
The
but
only tough
sounds
was COVID.
yeah.
I've been incredibly consistent, even through like 2008 and 2009 when there was a recession. It just was like always. And then I could have never, all of a sudden on March 10th, 2020, I had 80 events booked for the rest of the year. On March 15th, I had zero. Every event was canceled, not postponed, remember at that time, because we didn't know what was going on. So that was an interesting challenge. When I
Yeah.
had to learn how to do this, which I never would have thought of doing virtual. And I truthfully, when it comes to events, I'd rather not do them because it's podcast work, but speaking to a big audience on this, it's just meant for people to be disengaged.
Yeah.
Little tiny thing, we don't have that electricity with each other. There's nothing like a live event to really bring people together.
Yeah. That's fair enough. I even prefer to do the podcast in person because I
Oh,
just feel
yeah.
like it's just a little more exciting that way. Not that this is not exciting at all. It's just that when you're in person, you get to shake hands and stuff like that, and you're meeting someone new. It's just kind of an extra electric experience,
It
and
truly
it's
is.
something I value a lot.
As a speaker, I'm a little bit unusual in that most speakers want spotlight on them on the stage, and the audience is not very visible. I like the opposite. I want less spotlight on me, and I require my clients to have full lighting because I want to see faces. I want to connect with people. And when you do that, here's where God comes in. I can't explain this other than it's God. I move a lot when I'm speaking. I'm moving all over the place. At a particular moment, at a particular key phrase or a key principle or learning point, it'll feel like God grabs my head, points me to a person who I don't know, who's 32 rows back, and I know that that's for them. That they this is I'm it's like I know this is for you. I can't explain it, but that's never going to happen on virtual because I can't even see them. They're just little tiny things, and you can only
Yeah.
see 24 of them at a time. But in person, that to me is one of the greatest joys of being a professional speaker is just being present and somehow being guided to the right person with the right message at the right moment.
I bet that's a special experience for you as well as the person, but also for others to see that, because if that's how it is, if you feel that that's from God, then there's I would like to believe that the people around you watching that connection even can also get some awesome impact from it. So, yeah.
The other thing that it comes up is that, professional speakers love to get standing ovations and, people saying how wonderful they were and stuff. And I enjoy that, but that's not the reason I speak. The reason I speak is because when I'm speaking, I know that I'm doing what God put me on earth to do, that I don't need anything back. I don't need the applause. I don't need somebody's. In fact, doing what I do, people will come up and say, "Oh, you changed my life." And I always say, "Thank you." But in my heart, I say, "I didn't change your life. There's only you will change your life. Maybe I could be a spark. Maybe I could be a little bit of a nudge. But you're the one who's going to change your life because I'm not there tomorrow. You are." But I do it because I feel that's why I say when I'm on stage, I'm 25 because I'm filled up with God's purpose.
Yeah, that's amazing. As we close out, I like to ask this question to most, if not all, of my guests. But what would you say to that person who may be having a mental health struggle or maybe having just a life struggle and needs one of those breakthroughs that you're talking about and doesn't really know where to start? Maybe they're not going to an event where they're going to get a spark like that. What would you recommend to that person?
Well, you gave me the answer from your dad. That's the best. Do something for somebody else. Two things. Number one, understand that you are a leader and not a victim. All right. And leadership means you still have choices. And if you're making choices to be a victim, you are going to be a victim, but you can make a different choice. So Number one, if there's a place where you can take your focus off of all that's wrong in your life and focus on helping somebody else. Number two, begin every day with that question. What am I grateful about today? All right. Just really begin with gratitude. It's the most powerful of all emotions. Emotions have frequencies, and the highest frequency emotion is gratitude. So when you're in gratitude, you can't feel depressed. It doesn't work that way. We're not wired that way. So gratitude, do something for somebody else, and just start focusing on elevating your energy on that 10-point scale. Change the way you move, all right? Stop saying, I have to. Say, I choose to, love to, can't wait to. And talk yourself in to joy.
Yeah. Well, that's a wonderful way to end. I really appreciate your insights on that and really everything. I mean, I personally learned so much today, so I can only imagine, you know, the people this can reach and the impact that even an episode like this with a small fish like me can make on people's lives. So I really appreciate it. And Brian Biro, everyone.
Thank you so much. And congratulations. This man got engaged. Woo!
Thank you. Yeah, I'm pretty amped about that. So thanks, Brian.
Thank you so much, Michael. It was great.
This episode is sponsored by Tin Can Timepieces. Looking for a watch that's built for anything life throws at you? Let me introduce you to Tin Can Timepieces. This is more than just a watch. It's a commitment to quality and purpose. Tin Can Timepieces is proudly based out of Georgia and is owned and operated by an active duty U.S. Navy submariner. That's right, a company built on discipline and precision. Every watch they create is handcrafted and features reliable automatic movements, ensuring you get a premium quality feel with every tick. Whether you need a rugged diver or a classic dress watch, Tin Can offers an assortment of styles for every mission. Tin Can Timepieces, hand-built for purpose, built for the depths. Dive deeper and check out their collection today at tincantime.com.